the human spirit revealed in Ephesians.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, haven't we had such a fresh appreciation of our human spirit?
Amen.
The human spirit means everything in God's economy.
Amen.
I don't know if you've been following the outlines in this way, but we have to see that the human spirit is in every single chapter of Ephesians.
Amen.
So in the first morning we saw that we need to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
If you don't have a spirit, no revelation.
Amen.
In chapter 2, we saw yesterday that where is the dwelling place of God?
In spirit.
In spirit.
Amen.
My spirit.
Amen.
Actually, we should say our spirit.
Amen.
Our spirit.
Let me ask you a few questions and you can respond, okay? What is the organ that allows us to contact God?
Our spirit.
Where can we fellowship with God?
Our spirit.
Where can we eat and enjoy God?
Our spirit.
Where can we walk day by day?
Our spirit.
Our spirit.
Amen.
Wow. I don't know about you, but this whole week, I've just been appreciating my spirit.
Amen.
Our spirit.
Amen.
Even last night, we saw, for us to arrive at the one new man, one practical way is what? Through the cross. And where is the cross today? Our spirit. It's in the spirit.
Amen.
So we need to see the importance of our spirit. So this morning, we're coming to Ephesians chapter 3. And it's entitled to being strengthened, right, into our spirit. So I asked a brother to put up this diagram. We haven't seen this diagram yet this week. If we're going to be talking about the spirit, we need this diagram,
yeah,
right? And I think a lot of you are familiar, maybe some of you not so much. That's okay. This is a diagram of you and I. Every single human being,
right,
we are created in this way with three parts. And you see that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that we have what? A body, a soul, and our spirit.
Amen.
And so I don't have the time to cover all the parts, but this morning we want to focus on the innermost part of man,
yeah,
and that is the spirit.
Yeah.
So actually this diagram, if you look in your notebook, I just told the brother to put the letter. But in page 20, you have the same diagram. And there you see, actually, the C, the F, and the I, right? It's three parts. The C stands for conscience, the F stands for fellowship, and the I stands for intuition. And so, the spirit has these three functions. Has the function of conscience, the function of fellowship, and the function of intuition. And a lot of times, you know, when we consider our spirit, you know, it's very easy to come straight to the matter of fellowship, right? Because, you know, God is spirit, John 4:24. Those who worship him must worship in spirit. So the spirit is the organ that was given to us by God to contact him, to fellowship with him, right? To eat him and enjoy him. And the intuition follows many times after the fellowship, right? It's the instant speaking from God, right? No matter what the circumstances is, it might not make sense. One time, I was driving, and I just had a sense. You know, usually I go to the gym during my lunch break around noon, 12:30. But that day, I was just driving. And I just had a sense that I needed to go home. And, you know, I was, you know, kind of having a conversation with the Lord. I mean, why? I mean, there's nothing going on at home. Everything is, you know, my wife hasn't called me, told me to, you know, I need to go back. But there's just a sense that I needed to go back. So, okay, all right, amen, Lord. So instead of, you know, going to the gym, I started heading home. And as I was heading home, I receive a text. I get a text from a brother, one of the students, and he told me, "Oh, Shepherd, are you at home right now? I need to hand in this project, and the internet is down." For some reason, Rutgers, they have a really bad infrastructure. This happens regularly. Like every, the students, from Rutgers can tell you, they get hacked all the time. And so these hackers brought the internet down again. And he needed to hand this thing in, right, before, I think the deadline was around noon. So he's like, are you at home? And I was like, I'm actually driving right past where, his house. And so I could come and pick you up. He's like, yeah, that'd be great. And so I went, I was right there. I picked him up, brought him home, and he got his project handed in time. Where did that come from? I think that was of the Lord. Because if I was in the gym, I like to swim. There's no way. I'm in the pool, I can't answer his text. And so that was a case where I experienced the intuition, right? And so I think we can all, right, if I asked you to come up and share, you probably could share a lot about your experiences of fellowship, of intuition. But this morning, my burden really is to focus on the conscience. The conscience. Brothers and sisters, when you come to Ephesians 3, the conscience, that word, it's not there in that chapter. And so where do you find it? Well, it's actually in one of the footnotes. If you go to Ephesians 3, 16, if you look at the footnote there, it's 17, footnote 1, and I'll just read it. Our heart is composed of all the parts of our soul, mind, emotion, and will, plus our conscience, comma, the main part of our spirit. And I want you, if you have a paper Bible, you should underline that. The main part of the spirit. In the outline, under Roman numeral 1, point D, it says we must deal with our conscience, the leading part of our spirit. Well, is it the leading part of the spirit or is it the main part of the spirit? It's actually both. In many of the verses, and actually I counted seven instances in the New Testament, in the footnotes there, Brother Lee calls the conscience either the leading part of the spirit or he refers it to the main part of the spirit. What does that tell you? That means the conscience is very, very important. And so when we say we need to exercise our spirit, actually what you should think in your mind is to exercise every function of the spirit. Maybe you should write that down. To exercise the spirit is to exercise all the functions of the spirit. What does that mean? That means you need to exercise, of course, fellowship, intuition, but you also need to exercise your conscience. And this is very important because in the reading, I'll just point you to this part. I really appreciated this. If you turn to page 20, let's do this. Maybe we can read this together in the second paragraph, starting as just as the fellowship. How about the sisters, you read the first line, and the brothers, you read the second line, and I'll tell you when to stop. Okay? Did we find it? Page 20, just as the fellowship. Brothers,
if we are wrong in our conscience, our fellowship with the Lord is broken. And when the fellowship is broken, the intuition does not function.
The dealing with the conscience is therefore very basic.
Amen.
A transparent conscience will bring us into the presence of the Lord, resulting in a living fellowship with Him.
Okay, let's stop there. So did you pick up on this? That one function follows the other. Mm-hmm. And actually, it starts with the conscience, mm-hmm. right? If we are wrong in our conscience, then the fellowship is broken. And if you don't have fellowship, then the intuition will not work. So if you trace it back, that means the conscience, of course, is the leading part. It's the main part of our spirit.
Amen.
So we need to take heed to our conscience.
Amen.
Just like Paul, we need to exercise ourselves to have a clear conscience before God and man. And this is so important. I like to go through another set of verses, and this is in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Please take that out because this is not on the outline. And if you look with me in verse 19, how about we read that together? 1 Timothy 1:19.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Holding faith and a good conscience, concerning which some, thrusting these away, have become shipwrecked concerning faith. Okay, and if you go up a few verses in verse 5, let's also read that together. Verse 5.
But the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart, and out of a good conscience, and out of unfeigned faith.
Amen. You notice in these verses, Paul combines a few elements, right? A few things. And in verse 19, I'm going to focus on this one. Holding faith and a good conscience. Conscience is paired together in this verse, right, with faith. And if you look at the note, this faith is actually the subjective faith, the act of believing, right? And this verse says, concerning which some, thrusting these away. So it's not that you thrust one away, you're thrusting both of them away. Thrusting these away have become shipwrecked regarding the faith. And the last faith there is the objective faith, right? The things that we believe in. You know, as believers, we consciously would never thrust faith away, right? We wouldn't do that, right? We love the Lord. We know faith operates, right, in us so that God's economy can be carried out. Why would we thrust it away? But sometimes, with the conscience, we're very loose about it. There's a little inner feeling. Oh, no, just ignore it, right? The way that we speak to our parents, our siblings, there's a feeling, well, I probably shouldn't have said that. Oh, but Lord, my brother, he's always so annoying. You know how he is. You created him. It's your fault. And so we ignore these things, right? When you're buying something, right, you pay for something, the cashier gives you change, and it's more change that, you know, what you should have received. How do you approach that? All right, thank you, Lord. You blessed me today. But there sometimes, isn't there a inner feeling? Maybe you should return that. Faith and conscience goes together. And so we need to take heed to both of these things. And so this is so important, because if we don't take care of our conscience, then our faith slowly just leaks away. There's an illustration. I don't think I have time to do it, but you know, suppose, okay, let's just have these two brothers stand up. Right, this is faith, this is conscience, and they're joined together, right? Some of you have seen this before. And so they go hand in hand. And we love faith, right? We appreciate faith. We need faith so much. We would never neglect faith. Faith is wonderful. But conscience, sometimes you're just a bother, right? Just, why? Why would you interrupt, you know? You give me such a, you know, ill feeling. And so sometimes we try to separate the two, or we just try to ignore him. We just ignore him. And we only want faith. We just want to love the Lord. We want to believe in the Lord. Right. And we come to the meetings, right? You know, we're trying to exercise. We're trying to enjoy the Lord, exercise faith. But yet our conscience is far, far away. So it doesn't make sense, because these two are always together.
Right.
Thank you, brothers. So we need to see that. You know, if you get into this matter of dealing with our conscience, like that point says, in the book Experience of Life, I appreciated this very much. To deal with the conscience is to deal with three main things. Number one is sins, right? When we commit a sin, We need to take care of that right away, right? The second item, there's the matter of the world. And that could also affect our conscience. And I could tell you experience that I had in college or starting in high school. I became involved in this sport. And I spent a lot of time in it. Even in high school, we got, it's not really recognized by the school system, but that's okay. We loved it. We loved to play. We played competitively. We got all the other schools in New Jersey. And this is the first time that we formed like our own little league. So we would, play with one another on Saturdays, on Lord's Day. We even created like a championship. This is just all the students just doing it themselves. And I was part of that. I was involved with that. And then in college, in college this is a little more widespread. You could find Frisbee, Ultimate. many schools, right? All the schools, right? They have teams and they play each other. And there's brackets. You can make it to nationals. That was like my dream. We never made it. It was not just my fault. We didn't have a good. We didn't have a good team. But, I was so invested in it. In my freshman year and entering into sophomore year, the Lord was just operating. Because a lot of times when you travel, like I remember one weekend we had to travel to Penn State because all the teams in this area coming together, playing a two-day tournament, a whole weekend. And so it took up a lot of time. And the weekends. The weekends are so busy. The church life, there's things going on. And I found myself as missing more and more things. And then not only that, but a lot of times, at night, you can't play at night. And they usually don't. But what they do at night is they just party. Okay. And so that kind of atmosphere was not good. And so the Lord just spoke to me, and he just spoke to me. And at first I was like, no, Lord. But he spoke to me. And eventually I just had to tell the captain that, I can't do this anymore. And so I quit. And so that was because my conscience just wouldn't allow me to play Frisbee in that way anymore. And I'm not saying I don't play anymore. At the training, the brothers, we still play. But just not in that way, right? And so I think we need to realize that the conscience is more than just sinful activities. Right. It could just, sports, there's nothing wrong with sports, but it could become the world, right? And so we need to take heed to our conscience regarding that. Also, there is another category, and it's a category that has nothing to do with either sins or the world. And there, Rhoda Lee says, sometimes the Lord can touch you about the looseness of your character. Okay, so he gives the example, a messy bedroom. How many of you have a messy bedroom? You don't need to. One day, I don't know, the Lord might touch you. No, Matt, you can't walk out of that door until you fold, right, your blanket. Because this is really a reflection of who the Lord is. In resurrection, he took the time to fold his linens. And he just wants to be expressed through us. So he has a certain feeling. And so he might touch us in that way. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe you have this experience. You're walking, right, in the meeting hall. You walk by something. Oh, what's that? A little slip of paper. Or empty water bottle. Nathan, you didn't drop that paper on the ground, and you didn't. That's not your water bottle, but maybe the Lord will touch you, pick it up. But Lord, I didn't do that, right? But sometimes you're eating, and this happens a lot in my locality, especially with the young people. Oh Lord, they're eating, especially the younger ones, the middle schoolers. On Saturday, right? They eat, and then they just leave all their things behind and they go play. Right? And it's there. And you walk by. Oh, those middle schoolers are so messy. But there's a little feeling. why don't you throw it away? But I mean, I didn't, that's not my mess. But the Lord will touch us in these ways. And so when we exercise to follow our conscience in all these ways, we're actually exercising our spirit.
Right.
And so we need to realize that. We know the spirit is so important. We know that the spirit means everything. We know we're supposed to exercise our spirit. Mm-hmm. But do we exercise the function of our conscience? Mm. We need to take care of that.
Yeah.
If you look at, I'm just going to wrap up. I'm going to jump to Roman numeral 2. In point D, Roman numeral 2, under letter B, point D, right? It says, we should exercise our spirit by confessing our sins, praying, and functioning in the meetings, right? This matter of exercise, we need to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
It implies that there is a force, right, that is involved. Just like in gymnastics, right? You need to deny yourself, and we need to exercise. I hope after this entire week, even after this morning, you know, when we think of exercise, we're not just thinking of, oh, louder, right? And sometimes we get that impression because in the meetings, a lot of times when we use that phrase, that's what we mean, right? To release our spirit. But that's not the only way to exercise, right? It's not, oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, exercise your spirit, brother. Oh, Lord Jesus. And then somehow we think that's what it means, right? To get louder. Or sometimes the brothers like to fist pump. Exercise your spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, yeah, that is exercise. But that's not all there is to it, right? It's not fist pumping. It's not getting louder. It's to exercise the functions of the spirit.
Amen.
And this is so important because for Christ, and then we're going to end with this point, for Christ to make his home in our hearts, we need to take care of our spirit.
Amen.
We need to take care of our spirit. Because the heart is actually a composition, right, of our soul plus the conscience.
Amen.
And you could say that actually the heart is the entryway to our spirit. So if we don't take care of our heart, including the conscience, then we actually, we hold the Lord hostage in our spirit. He can't spread. He wants to spread, but he can't. So you know what we need to do? First, it's a matter of our heart, right? And so we need to turn. And actually, with our soul, it's the functions of the soul, the parts of the soul, are mind, emotion, and will. And the mind is the leading part of our soul. So the mind, right, needs to take the lead to what? To repent. Have a change of our thoughts. Turn from everything to the Lord. And then our conscience, right, also, it needs to do what? It needs to take the lead to, you need to confess, right? We need to exercise in that way. And when we do that, actually, you'll find that your emotions, your will, it just follows, right? When you take care of your heart in that way, you love the Lord, right? And you want to follow the Lord. So everything hinges, right, you could say, on these two parts, the mind, to turn your mind, right, to repent, to turn, and then, of course, to exercise your conscience, right, to confess. It's so good. Isn't it so good, brothers and sisters, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we shouldn't feel like, oh, I'm so condemned. I'm, you know, there's no way out. I just in despair. No, we just, all we need to do is confess, right? And he is faithful and righteous to forgive us. So I hope, anyway, that's my burden, that we really could take care of our conscience in such a way. And in doing so, right, we could allow Christ to make more of his home in our hearts.
Amen.
How do we read the focus while I get this on? Amen. Go ahead.
We must deal with our conscience, the leading part of our spirit, and be strengthened into our inner man through the Spirit and through our cooperation with the Spirit.
Amen. While our brother was sharing, a little song came up in my head. I don't know if you know it, but it's really simple. It goes like this. My conscience says no. My conscience says no. My conscience says no, 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 no. I'm probably messing it up anyway. No. But that's all it is. My conscience says
no.
No.
My conscience says
no.
Oh, okay. Well, you're like, don't bother me, conscience. I enjoyed that illustration. Okay, well, I have a burden, and I don't know if I can get it out. But in this part of the outline, we come to the inner man. And I want us to realize that our inner man is actually our real person.
Right.
Our inner man is Christ. Our inner man is where Christ came into our being as the Spirit. When we were regenerated, the Spirit entered into our spirit. And now our spirit is our real person, our inner man, okay? And you know what? He's a person.
Amen.
And he says, no, 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 no. Actually, it's really sweet when you have a child. One of the first things they learn is no. They're not always sure what they want because they haven't experienced everything. But they know how to say no. No, 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 no. Okay, well, praise the Lord. There's a man in our spirit.
Amen.
And he has a feeling about everything we do. Everything we think about. Everything we feel. All the decisions we make. He has a feeling. Don't you want to know this precious person in your spirit?
Amen.
Oh, we do, right? I think even in this training, the more we see the things of God's economy, we just want to know who's in me, but really, who am I in Christ? You're a new person in Christ.
Amen.
Your real person is in your spirit.
Amen.
You know, to be a Christian and not live by the inner man, you're just the most miserable person in the world. Because your person inside has certain likes, you know, certain things that make you happy. But when you live by your outer man, you go to the world for things that satisfy you, and they can't, because that's not who you really are.
Right.
Haven't you ever experienced being with a certain group of, people that aren't believers? You know, your little group, your little clique, but they don't enjoy the Lord. They don't love the Lord. Maybe it's a certain common thing, frisbee. But you just, even though you kind of enjoy it, you realize you don't belong. You just realize this isn't, right? They all have a goal, but your goal's different.
Right.
They're all having fun, and you're kind of having fun, but something is missing. That's because we have an inner man.
Amen.
And we have to learn to go deeper into our spirit, okay? Okay, let's read Roman numeral 2 together. We need to be strengthened into our spirit, our inner man, in order to experience Christ for the church, the body of Christ. Okay, our inner man. Oh Lord, our inner man. How about we read A together? Today there are two men in us, the outer man with the soul as its life and person, and the body as its organ. And the inner man with the spirit as its life and person, and the renewed soul as its organ. Amen. Okay. So 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying,
hallelujah.
Decaying,
yes.
Yet our inner man is being renewed.
Amen.
Day by day.
Amen.
So right here in this verse, we see that every believer has an outer man and an inner man, okay? The outer man is decaying. You have the soul and the body. You know, I wear glasses now. I didn't for most of my life. The outer man is decaying. Decomposing. Decreasing. Becoming nothing. Yet, but, our inner man
is being renewed day by day.
Amen.
Another way to say that is that Christ in our spirit is making his home in our heart.
Amen.
You know what the renewing is? It's just God himself adding his element into every chamber of your heart, including your mind, your emotion, and will. And he uses the conscience to come between the two. Okay, to flow between the two. Now, who's happy with just having Christ imprisoned in their spirit? Raise your hand. Okay, good. I think you're in your inner man. He's not happy either. Okay, but who wants to let Christ make their home, his home in their heart? Raise your hand. Oh, okay, very good. Amen. The secret to this is that we need to be strengthened with power into the inner man. Okay, I'm going to give you, Okay, let's just be honest here. We can touch our spirit quite easily, but to remain there, to stay there, to experience Christ, and to live Christ, we are very weak. Even as our brother was sharing about his mind wandering this morning, what is that? Right? See, our outer man tends to be stronger than our inner man. And our mind is a wandering mind. It just is. So we need help. We need help.
Amen.
Do you need help?
Amen.
I need help. Well, in Ephesians 3:16, we find the help.
Amen.
Right, what does this say? Does anyone know? It's one of your memory verses. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit into the inner man. Oh, that's good. Okay. There's three things in there that we're going to touch. Okay, but first, let's read B. Our outer man is often stronger than our inner man. Thus, we need to be strengthened in our inner man. One, we need to be strengthened with power through his spirit. The more we are strengthened, the more parts of our inner man are being brought. Okay, amen. I messed that up for you, sorry. Amen. But being brought back to our spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus. For the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Brought back. Brought back. We need to get to our spirit.
Amen.
But for this, how? Amen. In this verse it says power, right? We need power.
Amen.
Oh, we need power.
Amen.
Where's this power found? Through his spirit.
Amen.
It's actually capital S. And where did we see this power this week? It's actually in your verses. That's why we want you to know these verses. Ephesians 1:19, right? Through 21. The surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, right? What kind of power is this? This is the power that caused him to what? Be raised from the dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
More powerful than death.
Amen.
Death is the great equalizer, but this power overcomes death.
Amen.
Right? Also, the power that seated him in the heavenlies. This is ascending power. His name is above every name.
Amen.
Right? It's also subjecting power. Subjecting power.
Amen.
All God's enemies. All your enemies. This power is to subject things, all things under his feet. And to give him to be head over all things to the church, to us. This power is ours. This power is ours. I want you all to know something today. You can access this power. To get into your inner man and stay there, you need this power. You need this power. Your own effort can't do it. Check with your experience. How do we get this power? I'm going to tell you, I want you to write this down. Are you all ready? Pens ready?
Amen.
It's so simple but so profound. Ask. Yeah, ask. Ask. That prayer is the Apostle Paul's prayer, and he's asking. Ask your Father, God, all this power. He just wants to give. But he needs you to ask. Once I was in a Lord's table meeting, and I was worshiping my Father God with all the precious saints. And I'll just give you a testimony. I grew up not in a wealthy family, and I'm second, tough place to be second. Anyway, but I would always ask my dad for things. Now, you got to know, I love my dad, okay? And he's awesome. I respect him. But he wasn't a wealthy man. And I'd ask him for things, and a lot of times he would say no, just simply because he didn't have it. He'd just say no. My brother, he would, you know, he'd get things. He's older. But when it came to my turn, it was no. And then I had a little sister right after me, and rightfully so, my dad just gave her everything. I have two daughters now, so I totally respect that. You sisters know how to get what you want. Okay. Especially from your daddy, right? Oh, yeah. Well, let's be honest. Anyway, but I was stuck in the middle, okay? And then I had another sister, but that was later. Anyway, but I'd ask. And he would say no. I'd ask, and he'd say no. And not because he was mean or anything. It's just, we're all limited, right? Amen. But you know what? So I stopped asking after a while. I just, you know, because I knew I was hurting my dad's heart when I'd ask. And so I was worshiping the Father that day with the saints. And then the Lord said something really sweet to me. I'm your Father.
Amen.
I'm your Father. And it was really sweet because he said, you know, I you know, in my arrangement with your dad, he couldn't provide the things that you thought you needed. Don't get me wrong, I got everything I needed. I'm not complaining at all. But when you're young, you think you need, you know, a lot of things. You don't. Okay, but anyway, the new iPhone or something. I don't know what. We didn't have those back then. But anyway, he just said something, and I want to give you all my riches.
Amen.
It was so sweet. I will never say no. Anyway, ask. You know, that day he recovered my asking. It was really sweet. It's hard not to cry a little bit. Okay. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Okay. That's our Father God. He wants you to ask. You can't get to your spirit? Ask. Pray this prayer in Ephesians 3:16. Make it your own prayer for yourself, for your companions, for the saints that you're with. Ask. Okay. Does that sound good? Or are you too proud? You got this? Okay, well, you'll find out you don't. Okay. Number two, the secret to the operation of this... Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. The secret to the operation of this power and the strengthening of our spirit is that we need to be desperate, not indifferent.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I just realized the time. Praise the Lord. I haven't even started. Okay. To be desperate, I just want to say something real quick. Young people, to have some knowledge of God's economy is not enough. We came to this training to see, to see. Seeing makes us desperate. When we see God, when we see his heart's desire for the church, we become desperate. And remember, seeing is a part, is related to our human spirit. So the best way to exercise our spirit is to pray. Lord, I want to see the revelation of the mystery.
Amen.
In this training, I need to see all that is on your heart.
Amen.
Okay? When you see this, you'll be energized.
Amen.
You'll become desperate. You'll become intense, as God is intense in his desire to gain the church.
Amen.
When you see this, you can't be indifferent. The reason we're indifferent, no feeling, ho-hum, is because we don't see, but we have knowledge, and we think we see. But actually, we're an outsider looking in. And we see others enjoying the Lord and go, that's good for them. I don't know about me. We got to get to our spirit. That's why our human spirit is the key. To unlock this whole training.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. Don't settle for playing church.
Amen.
Are you playing church? Or are you desperate? Mm-hmm. Is it a matter of life and death for you? Lord, show me. Ephesians 3:3. This is good to memorize the verses. Right. Ephesians 3:3. That by revelation, the mystery was made known to me. Okay, I hope by the end of this training, that would be our personal prayer.
Amen.
We could say that. We could declare that. Okay, let's go to three. The key, so in one, ask. In two, see. In three, exercise.
Amen.
Okay, we're trying to help you. On one hand, it is through the Spirit that our spirit is strengthened. On the other hand, we need to cooperate with the Spirit by exercising our spirit.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's read these verses in 1 Timothy 4:7-8. You should see this in the Word. Okay, I'll read it to you. We don't have time. But the profane and old womanish myths refuse.
Right.
And exercise yourself.
Amen.
Unto godliness. Amen. 4:8, for bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the present life and of that which is to come. Okay, exercise yourself. Which self? Outer man or inner man?
Inner man.
Amen.
Amen.
You passed the test.
Amen.
Okay,
wow.
Exercise yourself.
Amen.
Unto godliness. What's godliness? It's a manifestation of God in the flesh.
Amen.
It's Christ.
Amen.
Lived out of you.
Amen.
But we have to exercise ourselves.
Amen.
It does not say, Emmanuel, force you to be godly. But boy, you have sure relied on that in this training. It says, exercise yourself.
Amen.
Actually, if we were one with the Word here and God's feeling here, we wouldn't even need this training.
Yeah.
But we need help.
Amen.
Don't we need help?
Amen.
Okay, anyway. We're here to practice.
Amen.
Exercising.
Amen.
Exercising. What? Our inner man.
Amen.
Our spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Okay. Okay, let's keep going. In order for our spirit to be strong, it must be exercised, which is a matter of habit and of forcing ourselves. A habit. A habit means you're not even aware of it. Forcing ourselves, well, that's when we don't want to, right?
Who wants to take the test in the next session, huh? Forcing ourselves. That's right. I thought God's economy, dispensing is so pleasant and enjoyable. But then here, balance that, forcing ourselves. Forcing ourselves.
Okay? It's okay to force yourself. I have a lot here, but I'm out of time.
You know, catch me at lunch today, and I'll have some fellowship with you about forcing ourselves. It'll be related to my fear of public speaking, okay? And also a testimony. Well, I'm going to say it. Okay, it'll be quick. There's a brother named Samuel Chang. He used to be with us in the church in San Diego. He considered himself one of the first church kids in the Lord's recovery. He lived right next door to Watchman Nee, and he was with him all the time. And he was asked in a meeting I was in, "Brother Samuel, what was the outstanding characteristic of Watchman Nee?" And I was thinking, you know, he had that photographic memory. You know, he's really diligent. Yeah, maybe he denied himself. You know what he said without, there was a translation. First thing, no hesitation. He had a strong spirit.
Amen.
Oh, would that be your outstanding feature? Would that be the leading part of your being? Is that how people would know you? A strong spirit.
Amen.
Okay, that's too good. Okay, how do we get a strong spirit? We need to open up our mouth,
amen,
our heart,
amen,
and our spirit,
amen,
in order to fan our spirit into flame.
Amen.
Okay, we need to open up our mouth. It starts with the mouth.
Amen.
There's an order here. Maybe you think it's your heart or your spirit. No, just start with your mouth. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, you know, I get in trouble for that all the time. Because I just start. And I get my mouth open. And it's like there's layers to our being. We open up our mouth. That's our body. We open up our heart. And then we open up our spirit.
Amen.
It's okay to start and it doesn't seem so real to you like you're contacting him. But keep calling. Until your heart within you turns,
amen,
and opens. And you know what? The burning, the flame that's in your spirit, which is the Spirit himself, will burn. Burn away all the things that are not of him.
Amen.
And you know what happens? You become a new person.
Amen.
He takes over your mind, emotion, and will. In fact, he uses those faculties in your being to express himself. Brothers and sisters, when we come to these meetings, we need to be exercising to fan our spirit into flame.
Amen.
It's okay here. Practice while you're here. Our singing, I don't know if we're opening up all the way. I think some of us are still singing because we like a tune. You know? Open to the Lord. Okay. D. We should exercise our spirit. No, C. Having a strong will, a loving emotion, and a sober mind has much to do with having a strong spirit. So, in those verses there, it says, we have not been given a spirit of cowardice, but of power, and of love, and of sober-mindedness. I hope every one of us here would have the experience of getting from our outer man into our inner man.
Amen.
And you know what happens when we're in our inner man? We have a spirit of power, of love, and of sober-mindedness. Where can we see this even in this training? How about in our speaking for the Lord? You know, we all have, I don't know. It seems like everyone's kind of scared. Do we have a spirit of cowardice?
No.
Then that's not your spirit.
Amen.
You haven't gotten there yet. We have a spirit of power,
amen,
of love,
amen,
and a sober mindedness. We must exercise our spirit.
Amen.
You know, our person changes. I know this personally because I have a fear of public speaking. You know, but I don't stand with that. I don't care about that.
Amen.
You know, I get into my spirit, and I'm just so happy I can speak for the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and I love all you guys.
Amen.
I love sinners. Amen. The gospel's not hard. You just have to be in the right person. Because there's a person who wants to build the church, and he does it through our speaking.
Amen.
Would you give him the way?
Amen.
Let's exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Okay. There's a lot, but I'm done. Time's up. But I'm gonna call you up. Can we get the mics? Help me out.
We're thinking maybe we should just take a break quick, and then second meeting we can have overflow book or book.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm gonna use one more minute then.
Okay.
Okay. To exercise our spirit, right? We just have to be willing. Are you willing? Are you willing?
Amen.
Are you in a room full of willing people?
Amen.
Don't you want to have this change of person?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know why? Because the point I didn't cover is because when we experience this, he gets what he wants. It says that we get filled unto all the fullness of God.
Amen.
We get filled unto all the fullness of God.
Amen.
Do you want God to get what he's after?
Amen.
Yeah, right? Isn't there something in our being that's resonating right now?
Amen.
Now, will we stand with that? Will we value that more than our own face? Yeah? Okay, and then lastly, for any of this to work, start with your conscience.
Amen.
Maybe even while I was sharing with you right now, something touched you. I've just been a coward. I don't know. Maybe. How about you just confess that to the Lord?
Amen.
Yeah. I don't like to speak for you, Lord. You like to speak. You created the universe speaking. The Word of God became flesh. The new creation's a matter of God speaking. Lord, would you make your home in my heart regarding
Amen.
This matter of speaking?
Amen.
Okay. How about you take 20 seconds to pray with the person next to you?
Amen.
Amen.